Oh. Okay. Next slide, please. As a deer pants for flowing streams. Today is a special day. It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Some of you grieve. Enough said. But you long. I mean, you know, the Eagles and the Chiefs long for that championship. It's funny, my oldest brother, he likes both of those teams, so I don't know what he's going to do. I got to go see an orthopedic guy tomorrow that used to work for the Philadelphia Eagles, so he's going to give me a shot, and I'm really hoping the Eagles win so he doesn't take it out on me. But anyway, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. And if you're not in a place today where you're thirsting for Jesus, ask him to touch you this morning. It's not going to be my words. It's going to be his spirit. Where should I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. Lord Jesus, you are our salvation. Back in this time of the psalmist, and maybe David, and not quite sure, says the sons of Korah, they met with you in the temple. We know, Acts 7 tells us, God doesn't dwell in a house made by men. Let us long for you, as the psalmist longed to be with you, to be in your presence, to go to the temple. It wasn't just something he had to do. It's something he desired to do above life itself. And Lord, I know that very often life can steal our ambition for you, that we get distracted, that we look within. But let us today declare that we're going to live for you, Lord, that we're going to be on fire for you. And Lord, if anybody here doesn't have that zeal, then I pray that right now they would ask you to change their desire. Because if you do that, people, I'm telling you, God does it. Let us be about you, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen. So Thursday, I'm driving home from work, and I'm listening to Focus on the Family, Chronicles of Narnia, The Last Battle. I'm 66 years old. I'm listening to this program, and it describes what it's like to go to heaven. Of meeting, there's my dad, but he's not old anymore. He's young, and it keeps talking about it. And I gotta tell you, man, I get tears in my eyes. I look forward to heaven. I look forward to rejoicing with God. Maybe you've seen on the internet that meme, you know, it showed when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. The guy hits a home run and the whole team is waiting at home and they say, this is heaven. That when you go there, man, I'm going to see my grandmother, my parents. It's going to be cool. That has to be the cry of our heart. That has to be what we keep thinking about. So today I'm talking about being comforted in hope. You know, my wife every once in a while finds herself in a stressful situation. Living with me, I'm sure you can understand that. So what I like to do is I like to remind her, I give her the same advice, Mel, you just gotta be like me. Go with the flow, Bo. She always says the same thing. That is not so. Well, that's a nickname. My personality ain't chill. I'm not California cool. I am not laid back. I do get excited. I was doing some praising watching SU pull out that 3 overtime win yesterday. But I have always found peace and solace in Psalm 42. I remember a few years ago, the first time Ashley Mosier, when we had the other setup, came from Copenhagen to lead worship. First song she sang, "As the deer panteth for the water," because she knows how much I love that song. In fact, we're going to close in that today. You see, as we can see in this psalm, the psalmist ministers to himself. He doesn't allow himself to be ruled by his emotions, which is the world we live in. If you feel it, do it. But he says, no. Very often we can read the Psalms and he goes, well, no, I'm not giving in to my emotions. Be still and know that he is God. Okay. Something happened there. That's cool. Today I'm talking about longing for God. Mike Stahl used to pastor here, and I remember he used to say when we'd meet, and he'd say it some Sundays, that if you're really in a dry place, and we all go through dry places spiritually, ask God to change your desire. I thought that was a crock, being a young assistant pastor that knew more. So I put God to the test. So I was doing a dry place. God, change my desire. A couple weeks later, and we're in worship, and I'm really having a great time. I said, okay, thank you, Lord Jesus. So maybe today you're not on fire. Ask God to change your desire. So I want to talk about drinking or dying. When you're drained by thirst, you have one thing on your mind. It's not a cup of coffee. If you're really thirsty, you've been working all day in the hot sun, you know, I just need water. And the psalmist writes the image of a deer during the drought, struggling to get water to satisfy his thirst, really looking to be satisfied. I shared before when I was in Bible school, the professor talked about how he was in Israel and he would watch the deer come out of the mountains at night and just really thirst for water because they haven't drank all day long. And they would just drink and drink and drink. So the word says, as the deer pants. The word pants mean to be in a desire in a state of exhaustion. What do you do when you're in a state of exhaustion? What do you do when life is hard? What do you do when you don't understand what's going on? What do you do when you're at the end of your rope, but guess what? Even more gets piled on your shoulders. Well, I know God is not going to give us more than we can handle. But I also know the enemy wants to discourage me. He wants me to quit. He wants you to quit. He wants you to stay home, to not be involved in fellowship. But I know God sometimes lets me get to the end of myself to show me how much I need him. You know, commentaries tell us that the psalmist, upon seeing the deer, is reminded of his deep desire to go back to Jerusalem, to go back to the temple, that he's being ridiculed because he can't be there and he's not there. And the thing I love about this writer, he's not asking, oh God, make my life easier. Let the mean people quit picking on me. Let me live on easy street because I love God, so we know that means easy life. But what he is saying, he's not asking for an easier life. He's not looking for fame. He's not looking for accolades. He knew the only answer was to meet with the living God. We have to come to the end of ourselves so that we have to stop seeking to be affirmed by man. Because a lot of times, if you love Jesus and you serve him, guess what? You're going to be unnoticed. And that's one of the most powerful things that we have to do is, you know what? I think there's a book called Unknown. where we serve God and we don't look like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not one to do something as a church or put it on Facebook. I'm not coming against people. I'm just saying that's not my heart. Because I believe when I serve the Lord, then God is going to move. But I love the fact that this author, the psalmist, wasn't asking for easy street. He's asking Jesus, I want to meet with you. I want to be in the temple with my people. Even the wild animals pant for you, Joel says. The streams of water have dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures in the wilderness. We have seen the heartbreaking images of the fires in California. We have seen the animals that have been misplaced. We have seen people that have been misplaced and their houses burned. Are you in a place today where you feel like fire, man, you're just dried up? I would ask you why. And I would ask you to go to God. Have you put him on the shelf? But I got good reasons to not do this or do that. Reasons are like backsides. We all have them. God has to be in control. And if you're struggling, if your relationship isn't what it wants to be with God, maybe it's just that God is allowing you to go through a dry season, because that's when our faith grows. When we're in the dry seasons and we keep putting one foot in front of the other and trusting God and pressing on and straining on, and I press on, then God blesses that. But sometimes we're in a dry season because we're in secret sin. Or maybe we're in a dry season because we put God on the shelf. It's like the old church when we lived up north. Down the street, the sign said, does God feel like he's a million miles away? Who moved? Because it wasn't God. God never moves. I would never leave you or forsake you. But I've been dry for months. How's your scripture reading? How's your prayer time? I'm not a rocket scientist. Years ago, I had a guy in my home group, and he was telling me how cold his life was, and, you know, he was really questioning God, etc. I said, tell me about your prayer life. I don't. Bible reading, I don't. So then I really got smart and said, okay, we're going to meet again in 3 weeks. Here's your assignment. Read and pray every single day. So we get together in 3 weeks. He has a different countenance and yada, yada, yada. Hey, how's it going? Oh, man, life's good. Me and God are doing good. Hey, you're reading every day. You're praying every day. Hello. You spend time with God. It's a great time. I love FaceTiming my little grandkid. I like being with him better. I like that one-on-one fellowship. I like the one-on-one fellowship of the Bible. Sometimes we're overcome by grief, and we can't see what the next step's going to be. But like I said, the psalmist longed to return home. But you know what's good? We don't have to, I'm not telling you not to come to church, but we don't have to go to the New Covenant Community Church room to meet with God, because God tells us, I do not live in houses made by men. But we have to seek God. We have to say, Lord, come hell or high water, I want to be with you. In Ecclesiastes 1, Solomon, remember him? Probably the smartest man that ever lived. I don't know how smart he is. He had hundreds of wives. Tell me that's smart with a bunch of concubines. What did he do? He had the blessing of God and he turned away to the world. In Ecclesiastes, he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Oh, you can get rich. You can have the biggest toys. You can win a world championship. But if you don't have Jesus, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are rare. As you know, I went to her funeral recently. I do not know the spiritual state of the person. I didn't see the fruit of Christ in his life. But then texting with Dave Brady, whose mother just passed away, and they know where she is. She went through the narrow gate. It is not popular to be a born-again Christian. And if you're not a born-again Christian, you're not a Christian. How dare you say that? I didn't. Jesus did, and I trust him. But what it's saying is, what gate are you going to choose? Being a Christian, we talked about this in home group the other night. It's not easy. Being a Christian and following God, I wish he would get his schedule correct because it's inconvenient a lot. I got something to do. There's a game on, God. What do you mean? I'm getting a phone call to go do something. But I find every time I obey him, it's amazing the peace that he gives me. And I just want to encourage you today. I know in America today, in Oswego, New York, it's not easy to be a Christian. There's a lot of things I've missed in my family and friends, events I haven't been asked to attend because of my faith. I don't like that, but I will gladly live that. We need to control. Man, I've been good with that. I know what happened. I did a new animation program that doesn't work on that. Okay, so I will never do that again. Control your soul. Memories of the past can either encourage you or discourage you. Have you ever thought about something you did years ago and it just eats you up? Or as you get to be older, you remember what you used to be able to do. It was quite a feat. I got up off the floor today without my wife's help when I was kneeling. So that's a victory. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. I love this verse. Because he's taken control over his soul. He's taking control over his feelings. Your feelings will lie to you. I feel like I want to eat a whole Pizza Villa calzone. I feel like I want to go, if you're ever in York, Pennsylvania, Maple Donuts. Oh, ain't nothing better. I want to eat 13 of them because they give you one for free. I feel like I want to do this. You should see their coconut donuts. They weigh more than my head. I don't want to have a stroke. I feel like I want to eat this. My doctor says, I need more of your money, so I want you to live longer. So we can't control. Well, I feel like I want to do this. God says, don't do it. Then don't do it. The psalmist, as the deer pants for streams of water, so I longeth after thee. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock should not be a burden. Now, I get it. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we have home group. We got a great home group. It's in my house, so I don't have to travel at all. But sometimes at 6:15, you know what's in my head? I want to cancel. I just want to be one with the couch and a couple of decafs I sleep tonight. But I don't do that because I got a responsibility. And what happens? We come and we have a great time. So I can't be led by my feelings. You see, the writer remembered the good old days when he went to Jerusalem and he celebrated the various feasts. What enjoyable times they were. But allow the past to remind you how faithful God is. Resist the temptation to dwell on the past, and then you get depressed. Let me quote Robert De Niro in the Deer Hunter. This is this. This is this. This ain't 1982. This isn't a time when I was younger. This isn't a time when I wasn't in this pain, when everything was, this is this, and God meets me in the this. God meets me today when I look to him. In verse 4, he writes, as I pour out my soul, get honest with God. If you're doing great, man, just rejoice with them. If you're really struggling, get honest with them. But don't give in to your emotions. Don't give in to your personality. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Well, I lost my job. You know what you get if you play a country song backward? You get your truck back, your dog back, and your wife. But I lost my job, my lost my dog, and the Bills won the Super Bowl. Not this year. But anyways, I've been through some really hard times in my life. Really hard. But I don't dwell there. What do I do? I live in the book of Psalms, and I will read Psalms, and I will dwell in Psalm 42, and I read, I think it's 126, when they talk about coming out of the exile, we were those who laughed. I said, that's my relationship with Jesus. I'm one filled with joy, because I know when I breathe my last, I'm going to be with God. And I think that's amazing. So yeah, this is this, but we got to seek the Lord. You know, verse 3 tells us that when the writer's appetite is all gone, he says, you know, my tears are my food. So when he was at the end of his himself and all that he had was his grief, and he was being mocked by the Gentiles, hey, where's your God? He didn't give in to despair. He said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Remember God. We need to remember what God has done for us in the past. Don't give in to despair and grief, the natural responses, but don't allow them to take control. They are not your destiny. Jesus Christ is your destiny. Hey, I am an emotional person. That's who God created me to be. It doesn't give me free rein to always be like that, but what I mean is I know a lot of times my initial reaction is irrational. And I wish I had a video from 1980 that I married this girl named Melody Dockstader, and the first time she witnessed this, you should have seen the look on her face. She didn't know somebody could be so stupid. But then I go to God. Then I go to God. I might get mad, I may not, and I will go off of myself and vent. But now, I'll be honest, I vent for like 20 seconds and I instantly ask God for forgiveness. And I, a lot of times I'll come in here and just talk to him. Or if I'm in my house, I just spend time with God talking and I allow him to touch me, allow him to tell me it's gonna be okay. So I love this that David doesn't say, give in to your emotions, give in to what you feel. That's what the world tells us to do nowadays. But he says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil? You got Jesus Christ. But this situation, yes, but God knew that was going to happen to me. And God knew it was going to happen to you. You know, a big lie that Satan uses against the church is he elevates our emotions. We see that in a lot of different ways. I'm being careful right now. We see that in a lot of different ways. Can you believe we live in a country where they said to compete in women's sport, you got to be a biological woman? How mean is that guy? Why is that even an issue? Because God says, I created a man and woman, and we want to take control. I want to take control. I want to take control where I live, but I'm happy to be in Oswego, because I used to live in Copenhagen, New York, which this year has had 200 and over 70 inches of snow. And guess what? I'm not there anymore, so I really like Oswego. But I've learned, in fact, when I lived in Copenhagen for 8 years, 1 year, my elder came to me and said, hey, you quit complaining about the weather. Took 5 years. I said, God gave me grace, and I'm dead serious. I hate snow. I repeatedly went to the Lord and said, God, you gotta change my heart. And he did. But I had to give into it. But it's snowing again. Yeah, it's called January. But what I mean is that's a bad example. But Satan wants me to elevate my emotions so I'm not happy. I got the car of my dreams. I have one new car in my life. It was a 1982 Plymouth Horizon. Dark gray. It was my dream car. I was in heaven with that car. Front wheel drive. I could drive through snow till my wife worked at the hospital and I parked there. And right next to me was a brand new Jeep CJ7. Then I wasn't happy with my car anymore. You see, that's what happens in life. Men look at stuff they shouldn't on the internet and you're not happy with what God's given you. Or you look at somebody make more money. Look at these sports stars. How stupid are they? I'm only making $54 million a year, this guy said recently. Shut up. Give me half of that. But the thing is, when we minister to our soul, you will never be satisfied, ever. We have to say, thank you, Lord, for what we have. The psalmist takes a step back out of the situation and he ministers to himself. How powerful is that? He didn't allow his emotions to take control. We may not understand our situations, but you have to know the Lord reigns. You know, in the last 3, 4, 5 months, I have seen some extremely tragic situations happen to born-again Christians. I do not understand why, except we live in a broken world. But for me and my house, we got to serve the Lord. You're not going to understand it. My next point, which you won't see, is build your life on the rock. But that's okay. In Matthew, in fact, let's do this. Let's read 6 through 11. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, new covenant. Hope in God. Don't hope in me. Don't hope in your spouse. Don't hope in your sports team. Don't hope in your job. Don't hope in your parents. Love them. Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfall. That's where I took speech class. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Let me say one thing. If you're struggling, get into worship music. I don't care if it's Spotify, Pandora, whatever. Boom. Just play some worship music. When life's hard in here, I'm struggling in the day, I put on Pandora, praise and worship, and I just walk around the room. I'm by myself, so I sing me and God. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? He's talking to God. Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. Says it again. For I shall again praise him, my salvation. Oh my God. Thought so. How cool is that? Give me some grace here. Is your life built on sand or the rock? The rock is Jesus Christ. Matthew doesn't say if storms come, it says when they come. If your house, if your life is founded on the sand, which is life without Jesus Christ, you're going to fall. You don't have the capabilities to withstand life's storms without Jesus Christ, because human beings are made to depend on God and have a relationship with Him. That's why we see so much addiction and we see so much problem in the world, is we want to handle it, but God says you cannot. That's why He says, when you're weak, I, God, am strong. What's the core of your life? Charles Spurgeon wrote, the more we get downcast and depressed is when we look within. He was a powerful pastor of the 1800s that dealt severely with depression. And he knew the more that he looked in, the deeper he went into the hole. Why? Because he's looking to himself. We need to look to God. We just saw the psalmist say to God, why have you forgotten me? It's okay to get real with God. He can handle it. When you're frustrated and you don't know, it's okay to yell at God. But don't stay there. Say, I will again hope in my God, because I know He's going to meet us. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Man, it stinks when you see the wicked succeed and you're really struggling. But God is saying to us today, we need to go to Him. Talk to God like a broken child. Be plain with Him. If we hold it in and you play the role of super Christian because you think you're all that and you're Mr. Strong or Mrs. Strong, then guess what? You are headed for disaster. God wants us to be real, and God wants us to turn to Him. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying put it on Facebook. I'm not saying post it for the world to see. There might be one or two people that are your peers or hopefully above you spiritually, more mature, that you can talk to. But talk to God and talk to other people. But don't just hold it in. Verse 8 said, by day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me. Nighttime is funky. You ever lay in bed and you're just going through it? And you lay in bed and it grips you. And you get so upset. And your mind races and you can't sleep, or you sleep for a half hour and you wake up and it just keeps going. Then you wake up in the morning and you go, what was I worried about? The devil lives in the darkness. Jesus Christ is light. So when I get in those places, I say, Lord, I need your help. I'm really struggling right now. And in an instant, it all leaves and I'm happy. No. In fact, it doesn't leave. Can I say something? Sometimes when I fast and pray, it gets worse. Why? Because the devil wants to defeat me. That's when I say, okay, God, I know you're in control. And I don't listen to the lies of the enemy. And I don't listen to the lies of my heart. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night, His song is with me. Jesus is there in the good times and the bad. Can I have the worship team come up, please? His song is with me. We need to choose to praise the Lord at all times. Let me finish with a summary and application. Long for God as dryness desires water. And if you're not there today, I would really beg you to ask God to change your desires. And if you're not there where you're ho-hum with God and you're just here because you want to make somebody feel good, ask God to get real with you. The psalmist desired to return to the temple. The temple meant meeting with God. He couldn't live without meeting with God. That has to be us. We can't live through the day without reading, without praying, without talking to God. Allow your past to lift you up, not to drag you down. I went to my old high school last weekend. I had some bad memories, but I can't dwell there. Our emotions are real. Don't be ruled by them. In hard times, be honest with God. Minister to yourself. Remind yourself who God is. Lord, we come before you right now. We're going to sing this song, As the Deer, Lord. And I pray that as we do, we would cry out to you, Father God. And I pray for if there's anybody here that does not have a personal relationship with you, I pray that today would be the day that they say yes to you, Lord, that they ask for forgiveness, knowing, Jesus, you died for their sins, but you also tell us we have to then surrender our lives to you and ask you in. If there's anybody here that's struggling with dryness, Lord, or just fed up with this whole Jesus thing, I pray that they would challenge you to reveal your truth to them, Lord God. If there's anybody here, they're in a dry desert place spiritually, I pray that as we sing this, Lord, we will cry out to you to change that. I understand it may not be instantaneous, but in hope and trust and in faith, we move forward and we trust you, Lord. Let us respond during this song. Let us not just sing words so that we can then go home. But let us say, as the deer, exhausted and parched, longs for water, let my soul long for you. Let nothing keep me from you, O Lord. Amen. Would you stand?